In just 25 years, Burning Man has grown from a small artistic celebration to an internationally recognized cultural phenomenon. For the first time this year, all 50,000 available tickets for the annual end-of-summer event sold out well in advance of its opening day, today. So it's clearly a popular attraction. Beyond that, it can be hard to describe.
It's not really a festival exactly. It's sort of a movement, but not really.
This is Stephen T. Jones, author of the new book, The Tribes of Burning Man.
I think the best way to understand it is as a city, as a fairly well-developed urban culture with specific set of values and ethos that exist together for a little more than a week, but then goes back to cities around the world and continues to exist and feeds the culture of those cities. And that's particularly strong here in the Bay Area.
As city editor for the San Francisco Bay Guardian and an enthusiastic participant, or burner, for the past 7 years, Jones has been documenting the evolution of Burning Man from the inside. His book is not a full history of the event, but picks up the story 18 years in, as the differences between factions of organizers, artists, and attendees became heightened.
My journalistic engagement came in late 2004 during this big standoff over the artists. How much of the gate was going to fund art, and whether there's going to be greater democratic controls over how that worked. So it was this big existential standoff that, as a journalist, it was just fascinating. It was, what is this about? Whose event is this?
Burning Man is named for the central towering wooden figure that is built over the course of the 8-day event, then torched as a celebratory finale on the last night. The 40 to 80 foot tall man looms over a temporary city that grows out of the desert dust for a few days before disappearing completely, only to emerge anew a year later. But the anarchic spirit that animated the event in its early years was not sustainable, Jones says.
The real transition point came after 96, when they needed to create a bit of civic infrastructure to handle the growing population. It just became unwieldy and dangerous in many ways. There were people killed that year. So the civic grid was created, restrictions were created on driving, and a more overt ethos was written down and prescribed.
That ethos was developed by key founding member Larry Harvey and has become the basis of the social environment that largely defines Burning Man.
Radical self-reliance, radical self-expression, leave no trace, participation, immediacy, communal effort, basically bohemian values. But it's been taken one step further to say, okay, you're going to have no money there. There's nothing for sale. Everything is given away on a gift economy.
Living just for a few days in the wildly different temporary environment which embodies those principles is frequently cited as a life-changing experience. So even though many burners return to the playa on the Nevada desert each year, Jones observes that repetition is not essential for the perpetuation of the Burning Man ethos.
Burning Man has become like going to Mecca for Muslims. It's something that you have to do once to kind of get it, but then you don't need to keep going back. It's really about internalizing the ethos and the value set, but the goal is ultimately to be a generator of culture and community building in cities all over the place.
This wider cultural impact, Jones predicts, will prove to be the lasting legacy of this notoriously ephemeral yearly gathering of the tribes. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.